Okay. Could you introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hi, I'm Patty Martinson, one of the directors of Taos County Economic Development Corp.
And I'm Terry Badhand, the other director of Taos County Economic Development Corp, better known as TCEDC.
Could you explain or talk about TCEDC and what its purpose is?
Well, TCEDC is like 20 years old, so it's kind of difficult to do that in just a short interview. But our purpose really is to address the needs of the local community here in began with a time of crisis, and to pay attention to what people here said they wanted for themselves and their children and their future generations.
And TCEDC is legally and actually a community development corporation. It's a 501c3 nonprofit, and that's important because what we try to do is provide public-private partnerships to benefit the community. And that status, you know, really allows us to be a lot more flexible than governmental entities, which in northern New Mexico traditionally did a lot of services for the people and, you know, still do. But there are ways that a CDC can be very flexible. For instance, with the food center and the mobile matanza.
Okay, and bringing those things up, could you explain what y'all are, I mean, you're working to do a more local food economy, and could you explain that?
Well, you know, as a CDC, as Patty said, basically what we do is we go to the community that we live in and we find out what it is that the community says they need. And in this case here, you know, Patty and I worked in Denver at the Denver Indian Center Development Corporation a few years ago, many years ago, and that community and what their needs were different than this community here. But this being a rural community, what the people told us was that they wanted to hold on to the land, the water, the culture here, the traditions. They definitely didn't want to have their children having to leave the area, so economics came into play there. And so our job really was to try to match what the community said they needed with tools that are out there. And as a CDC, we're able to access other resources from outside the community and bring them into the community. And then that, you know, increases the economic base here and all those kinds of things. So that's our purpose, is to try to match what the people here say they want or need with tools to bring that about.
And as well, one of the things that's really so beautiful and striking about northern New Mexico, as opposed to many other places in the country, is that here we have living people who have memories of a self-sufficient community where not only the food system, but the other systems were informal but intact. And that interruption in that that community and that culture and that traditional way of taking care of our families and each other is something that people hold deeply as a value and still do. And so TCEDC actually works on quality of life issues, and supporting food, land, water, and the cultures of the people of northern New Mexico has become our mission statement.
And could you talk... Thank you. Kind of explain why a localized food economy is so important?
Well, besides the fact that, as Patty said, it was here and the fabric of it still remains, as you can see globally, nationally, what we eat is very important. And, you know, importing foods from so far away and not supporting the local farmers and ranchers is a major faux pas. And so, you know, we like to think of things in circles, you know, and so it's come full circle, not only here, but all across the nation, where, you know, local food and food security and all those kinds of things have now risen to, we might have been a little ahead of the time there, but it has risen to the public notice that, you know, you need to, for us, being Native American, if you take care of the land will take care of you. So, you know, it really fits with our principles and the principles of the people who were here and were such wonderful stewards of the land and took care of the land and the water and all those kinds of things.
The local food movement is you know, something that's really happening all over the country and really globally as well. And some other countries are perhaps a little bit ahead of us, as they are in universal health care, which is another thing that would really allow our communities to thrive again. And certainly Taos has been connected globally in many ways and was an old trade route. So that's a part of it. But really to be able to hang on to some of the amazing foods that we have here. You know, we've been really privileged to be gifted sometimes with some heritage seeds, and people don't always even remember what they were, but when we've planted them in our garden, you know, we have had the most amazing pumpkins and squash and things. Those kind of foods, and as well, you know, even some of the protein-based animals around here have characteristics of having come from this land, so they're healthy for people here. And having done the Taos Food Center, which was really one of our first visible projects, another thing CDCs can do is to provide facilities and places for things to happen. We own it, quote unquote, but really it belongs to the community. So just having done the food center and put the word out a little bit, and now, you know, we do our week-long classes. But the impact of that is that people are able to make a living doing something they love to do, because there's a really strong connection to the food and to the, you know, kind of unique cuisine that came from blending the Native American foods and plants that were here with some of the Spanish and French and other spices. And it developed into, you know, a real amazing cuisine. So there, that gives people an opportunity in the market to do value added to things that come from the earth here. And, you know, so that's all, as Terry was saying, a part of that circle. And we talk a lot about the circle of community food. And that would take longer than you have in the interview. But there are many people here that are working on projects, you know, that really have to do with, you know, strengthening that tradition, keeping it going, and doing it in a way that matches technology, modern facilities. You know, you've been in our food center. It's all shiny and stainless steel, and we have to really follow a lot of new regulations around food safety and stuff. But, you know, we're able to do that. And as a group, when people come together behind a common goal, you can do almost anything.
Okay. Do you know, what can you tell people to, I mean, how can people support local local food economies, or what can they do for themselves?
Well, given, you know, our mission, you know, a good way to support, you know, local economies and food is to grow, even if it's your own small garden. But it's to, you know, work with the land as it was intended, you know, and to use the water for good purposes. And also, you know, if people are making value-added, you know, products, it's to buy local. Try as much as possible to buy local. And that helps support and keep the money in the community.
Now, I also think there's a lot of community building that can happen, even if you're cooking your own food product or growing your own garden. You know, our tendency is always to find our peer group, you know, and come together around those issues. And that does a lot of amazing community building, because it's very basic. It has to do with our basic needs. One of the things that Terry and I and our whole staff at TCEDC really love is the WIC nutrition classes that we've been involved in for a few years, where young moms, you know, come in and they really, you know, come to get their WIC coupons. But when they get here, they're in, you know, they're able to be in the garden, in the greenhouse, in the food center, doing a nutrition class, taking those whole foods and learning how to turn them into really delicious things that they feed their children. And that, again, also, you know, really keeps that wheel turning.
And I also want to ask about the connection between land and culture. And I don't know if you want to talk about that, or if you have an example that you want to talk about, however you can express that.
Well, I actually just turned 61 this year, and there's a time in our lives, you know, when we really, you know, realize the connection and the, you know, from birth to death. which is a natural phenomenon. And I think the thing that comes to mind when you ask me that question, you know, really is that sense of community and that sense of being tied to the land. And when I was raised by my grandma, you know, she used to actually talk about everything you need is here. Wherever the Creator put human beings on the planet, everything that you need for shelter, for clothing, for food, and for medicine is available to you. So your responsibility, you know, is to learn as much as you can about that and then keep that for the next generations, because none of it really belongs to us. And, you know, that little movie, Pay It Forward, that was a Hollywood version. But, you know, what that really says, and what I think most human beings know deep in your heart when you're all alone in your room at night and you shake off all the stuff about being a great consumer and everything, you know, you really realize that, you know, as life goes on and continues, which we pray that it will for many, 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 many more millenniums, because those will be our children, you also realize that you're here because somebody called you into being, and that has to do with being land-based people. So that's how community and land-based living ties to culture. All the cultures that have developed in all those very different ways with different languages, different styles, if you trace that all the way back, you know, you will find that because that is where they landed, where the Creator put them, or where they sprouted up. Those things that built that culture are the things that come from that land, that water, that air, that climate, that food, you know, and that means of family building and community building, because we really do exist for those next generations.
Okay. And the question that I had just asked was about if you could talk about the connection between land and culture and whether...
And she probably did an excellent job answering that. You probably don't have to hear me reiterate what Patty just said.
Okay. So, and then I have to answer this question for the New Mexico Humanities Council. And the question is, what does it mean to be New Mexican? And, you know, I'm not a New Mexican, and I've asked one other person who wasn't. And, you know, I think that because there are so many people coming in from outside, it's also valid to talk about what people from outside think it is to be a New Mexican. So
that's a hard question, so I'll have to think about that for a minute.
I'm not a New Mexican. I'm from South Dakota, but I've been living here for over 20 years. And, you know, observing the friends that we've made and the people that we have made relations with, and that are actually our extended family now, I would say that, you know, it really means to be privileged to live in a beautiful place, and that probably the most important quality, if you aspire to become a New Mexican, is to open up, be quiet, listen, observe. The wisdom here is very deep. People are very generous. Native people here are very generous with the wisdom. If you approach in a respectful and quiet manner, and probably what New Mexicans would hope is that people who come here would do that. Stop, listen, observe, and then if your heart tells you that you have something to give, that's the time, not to come in and say, this is what you need to do, you have to do this, you know, without having put your roots down and, you know, breathed the air and sampled the water and slept and awoken here for quite a while, and just, you know, really take some time, detox, and figure out where you are before you, you know, jump in with a lot of advice, because there is a lot of wisdom here, and people are not strident about giving it. But if you ask in a respectful way, people will share that knowledge.
And for me, you know, I was trying to think of what it meant to be a New Mexican, and you know, I kind of believe it. All these states were named and borders were put up and all those kinds of things, but I don't really relate to that, you know, because I was born and raised in Boston, but I don't consider myself a Bostonian either. I think what it means to live here is a lot of what Patty says. It's to have family, to, you know, be with people that have the same values and beliefs that you have. And I think, you know, for me, New Mexico, and coming from a city, you know, Boston was a city, and then through Denver to here, I think the thing that I enjoy most about being here is the simplicity that is inherent here. And if we could keep it that way, that would be really nice. I think it's a struggle, but it's a struggle all over the country. You know, I think as you know, rural people or native people or anybody who's connected to the land would, you know, agree. It really doesn't matter to me where I am, as long as those kinds of values are held. And it's a beautiful place. So to me, you know, that's why I like it here. So
thank you, Ellen. If there's anything else that you want to say, you're more than welcome to.
It's so weird to sit here and try to think of, okay, let me see, what am I going to say to this little thing that you're holding? You should turn it off for a minute or something.